Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yo, third hour. Hour number three on the show. The show goes on. Tiki and Tierney from the Tiki and Tierney Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Found the better way to mortgage so you can focus on making your new house home. Rocket Mortgage. Push button. Get mortgage. So, it's a Wednesday around the country here, and Tiki and Tierney 2 hours in. Got another one to go. Do a little Saints here, Teak. Now, Drew Brees is, let's face it, Drew Brees has a lot of money waiting for him. Well, he has a lot of money waiting for him no matter where he goes, whether he plays football, whether he jumps into the broadcast booth. But apparently Sean Payton may have taken a page from the playbook and may have divulged, unfortunately, from Drew's point of view, just when the quarterback is ready to hang him up.
Yeah, but maybe that was just by accident as he walked those back a little bit. But I think the reality, though, is, I mean, are you surprised that Drew Brees would only play one more season? And again, when he signed his 2-year deal, it kind of was like, all right, it's a 2-year deal. You really just do that for flexibility's sake. I don't know the structure of that deal. I'd have to go look at it. But it's really just so you don't bang all the money on the cap on one season. And I'm sure there's some options thrown into that as well. So it's really just for the sake of accounting. But he wanted to run it back, right? He's got a pretty good team around him, as we've seen over and over again. But still, they haven't been able to break through. And a lot of it's been crappy circumstances deep into the postseason. But he feels like he can still do it for another year. And so if he can't do it for two, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, he's only had a 2-year deal. It's not like he had a 4-year deal. And we find out that maybe he's only going to play 1 year. But I'm not surprised by that one iota. We already know he was contemplating retiring and getting into the booth anyways this offseason. We know that cliche, right? Once you start thinking about it, you're already there. So at least halfway there. This doesn't surprise me at all, even if it was a, you know, quote-unquote mistake by Sean Payton, his head coach.
Yeah, what did he say? He said, this is on ESPN, he said, the unique situation with our team and with our quarterback Drew Brees is he's announced he's coming back for his final season, end quote. And then obviously probably started to process as that came out of his mouth and maybe he wanted to walk it back, which he eventually did. And here's Sean Payton dialing it back.
I'm a big dummy. Yesterday, we got chatting on ESPN, and I think the way I worded it was, hey, he's coming back for his last year. I honestly don't know if it's his last year. I think the thing he's done and we've all done is taking it year by year. And, man, that thing blew up on me. A few of you guys texted me right away, and I thought, holy cow, I'm glad he's in San Diego. Let him deal with this. But I think his plan is to take it year by year.
Hey, he's in San Diego?
Yeah.
Does he live there?
Maybe.
Did he live in New Orleans?
I think he has a house in New Orleans, obviously, because that's just where he's made his living for the last decade plus. But I think he's always had that house in San Diego. And if you had the choice, where would you be? San Diego.
San Diego.
I think the more interesting thing that Sean just said right there was not about Drew Brees. It's kind of like we all kind of take this thing year by year. What are you talking about? You know, there's been speculation over the last couple of years that Sean Payton was looking to leave New Orleans, whether it was the potential opening in Dallas, where he's had a pretty decent relationship with Jerry Jones over the years. I know he was he worked under Parcells when he was there, and there was a thought before he got the head coaching job that he would succeed Bill Parcells. But to me, forget that Drew Brees might not be in New Orleans next year. Could Sean Payton not be in New Orleans in a couple of years or next year, taking it year by year? That's more interesting to me than Drew Brees. We know that Drew Brees is headed towards the back end. He's 40 years old this year. I'm going to be 41. So Sean Payton is actually more compelling to me than Drew Brees is, whether or not he's going to be a New Orleans Saints or not.
Yeah, he's been there for a little bit. What was his first year? 05, 06, New Orleans, 06. Boy, he took over the job. He was 43 years of age, pretty young to be a coach. And then in his mid-40s, he wins his first Super Bowl and his only one at the age of 46. That was in 2009. They went 13-3. Then they had back-to-back-to-back double-digit win seasons. Then they hit the skids, and this is where the rumors really started to, kind of hit the runway a little bit. 7-9, all right. 7-9, all right. 7-9, all right. Not to mention the suspension in there for 2012 with not Deflategate, with Bountygate.
Yep.
So, there was a lot of play there, and I think the natural course of action was to think, you know what, it's played itself out. He delivered a championship to one of the most hapless franchises of all time. That was best known for brown paper bags and probably keeping Archie Manning from being an all-time great if they had more around them, and rather than just Peyton and Eli's dad. And then boom, 11-5, boom, 13-3, boom, 13-3, and here's the uptick again. I think it would be fascinating, and I'm not trying to pry him out of New Orleans, but boy, I think it would be really interesting to see him Act two somewhere else. Drew Brees retires, whether it's Taysom Hill, whether it's somebody else. I don't know what the perfect situation would be. I may have said Miami if Flores didn't just start, start there and seemingly on a decent, on a nice trajectory. I think competitive, nice system, nice culture that's already been implemented. Dallas, McCarthy's going to get a couple of years. Giants can't keep recycling head coaches. So even if Joe Judge bombs, and I don't think he will, but even if he did, you can't go, boom, 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 boom. You've got to let it ride out a little bit. Is there any situation that you could even see Sean having interest in?
No, honestly, right now I can't. The one that made sense to me is no longer available. And that would be the Dallas Cowboys, as we were just detailing. So, but at some point, either because the organization needs a reset, which it doesn't feel like the Saints are anywhere close to that.
No.
At all, be honest with you. And in fact, they've been building, but the way that they've been building has been interesting because it's been almost with disregard for the salary cap, right? The deals that they're inking and getting guys signed to, they don't make sense. Like, they don't have enough room, but they're being so creative with these deals. So it's like they're really trying to win it. It's like the Rams a couple of years ago. You're going all in trying to win this championship and get the best players that you possibly can, even if it's for the short term, because we're looking at our window and it feels smaller every year, but we're propping it open by, sticks and glue and everything else that we can make this thing stay open with. And that kind of says, all right, well, Drew Brees has only got a couple years left. Or maybe, Sean Payton might have, be thinking about whatever his next phase of his career is. Yeah, he's way too young to be done with coaching. It's not like, Bill Belichick, who at 70-something, when he leaves the New England Patriots, he's likely not going to coach anymore. When Sean Payton ultimately leaves the New Orleans Saints, he's got a lot of coaching years left in him.
Yeah, I don't agree with you on Belichick, though. I've always thought he's going to finish with the Giants. I've always thought that.
Why?
I believe that he has so much reverence for that franchise. And, he truly is a student of the game, as we know.
Yeah, of course.
His dad was a coach. Well, there's great coaches who weren't necessarily, married to the history of the game necessarily. He's both. He is a historian of the game, and he's just a great coach. And you know, if you look at what happened in Cleveland, obviously the way that that ended, you know, that was a little cantankerous from, mm-hmm. from their end. And I'm sure on his end at the end, after they sent them kicking to the curb, I just, you know, when you hear him go on about the Giants and, you know, the way he reveres, or at least did, Parcells, but the Giants uniform and the Giants history and Lawrence Taylor, I don't know. I just think it would be the perfect bookmark to the most amazing coaching tenure of all time. Now, the problem is, you're right. I mean, he is 67. He strikes me as the kind of person that is going to retire, is not going to retire until he has to.
Mm-hmm.
I think he'd be completely bored and lost and empty, hollow, without football on some level. That's not a knock. That's more of a compliment. Some people might take it as a knock. I'm not saying he doesn't have personal depth. I don't mean that. I just think he needs football. And at the age of 67, you know, if Joe Judge really is the guy and Joe strings together, you know, 6-7 years, I mean, now you start to get into your mid-70s and then it's over. Then you wouldn't hire him.
Yeah.
But if Joe Judge bombs.
But Joe is also his guy. You know what I mean?
That's true.
He set Joe Judge up.
That's true.
To essentially take that job by, you know, promoting him the way that he promoted him. And obviously he was the special teams coordinator, but then as the dual wide receiver coach, like he gave him the responsibility that prepared him to be that next head coach. Now, did he directly send him to the Giants? I doubt it. But, I mean, I wouldn't put it past him because he does have that reverence for New York. I just don't see – I think he's built so much of a legacy in New England. Going to the Giants, while it sounds like it would be a perfect bookend, I think it would be odd because I don't know if he'd have success. Because if the Giants are hiring him, it's because they're rebuilding again.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And,
yeah.
And so at that point, 3 or 4 years from now, does he want to do that? He's 70-something years old. Does he want to rebuild the New York Giants? I just don't know. It just doesn't – like the timing doesn't work out right.
Mm-hmm.
If the timing was different, maybe it would have felt right. But the timing doesn't feel right now.
No, those are good points. I mean, that's maybe it's expired. Maybe I'm just married to the sentimentality. It just always struck me when he talks about the Giants and expounds on their history and his time there. There's a glimmer in his eye. You could just tell it's different than the Browns or different when he was, I don't know, it just strikes me as different in a good way. But, you know, 67 is 67, and there's only a finite amount of jobs. And if Joe Judge does a good job, you know, he's going to be here, you know, at least, as I said, 5, 6, 7 years if he does a good job. If he does really good, more than that. And then the party's over. Then it's time for Bill to retire, no matter how much he wants to keep coaching. You're not going to introduce, you know, a 74-year-old Bill Belichick as the new head coach. I don't think.
I can't see that.
Right?
I can't see that at all.
Maybe he's the overseer. Maybe he's like the grand voice for a newly developed title where he oversees, like, higher than the GM, below the owner. You want to come up with some sort of hybrid position, and he finishes up there, maybe, but not as the head coach with the day-to-day response. Not at that age. That's just too old. And you hate to put boundaries on age, but – I mean, it's a 17, 18-hour day job.
Agreed.
It is what it is.
It is. It's a grind. It is an absolute grind.
Mm-hmm. Let's see here, Teak. How about this, though? What do we got? Boxing versus... No, we're not doing that now. What am I saying? Oh, Teak, I got to get out of here, dude. I just can't help but get distracted every once in a while. Distracted. It's just... Kinsley spilled chocolate milk, I'm hearing. Okay, all over the brand new white.
Oh, as long God. As it's not a couch.
As long as it's not a couch. It's not a couch.
But you're good then.
But it's the white. It's the island in our kitchen.
Okay, but that's
fine. That's fine. Not that she didn't spill it on the ceramic on the tile part on the marble. I guess she spilt it, if I'm piecing this together properly, on the place when the kids sit at the island where their feet would be, like the. Not the wall, because it's not a wall, but the lower part of the island, which is white paint, and it sounds like it's going to be staining. So I think I've got to deal with that the next break here.
Nice.
Oh, God. God, I'd just much rather walk in at like 7:15. And like when Jen's in a better mood, oh, you had no idea. Like we're in bed. Oh, you had no idea what Kinsley did today. What happened, baby? Oh, she knocked over chocolate milk.
You don't have to manage it at all.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I feel for you, honey.
You can just console. Just console instead of managing. Teak, now you're in managing mode.
Teak, listen. Oh, honey, I feel for you. Click as I go through. Yeah, no, that, oh, man, that great job getting it to you. Click. Mm-hmm, what's that? Another click. Mm-hmm. Nah, baby, I hear you.
Can I get you a glass of wine?
Yeah, it must have been. Let me rub your feet. That must have been a really tough day. Click. I'm just going through the channels, half listening. All right, let's get a quick break. Obviously, we're jumping around a little bit. Tiki and Tierney here. We got the blast in about 20 minutes, and we continue to roll on this Wednesday, CBS Sports Radio.
When your battery goes dead, everything could come to a stop. Don't take a chance on getting stranded. O'Reilly Auto Parts will test your battery free of charge. If your battery needs to be replaced, O'Reilly Auto Parts can help you find the exact battery that fits your car or truck at a guaranteed low price. Make sure your vehicle is prepared for the weather ahead by getting your battery tested for free at O'Reilly Auto Parts. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts can help make all your auto repair, maintenance, and restoration projects easier. So when your car isn't stopping like it used to, O'Reilly Auto Parts will help you find the brake parts and supplies you need to do the job right the first time. Right now, for a limited time, save 15% when you buy a set of Brake Best pads and two Brake Best rotors. Shop online or stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices, every day.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 1-855-212-4227. Sponsored by GEICO. Whether you own or rent, GEICO makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work. Get a quote, geico.com. You know, Teak, when we were talking about Brady and all the speculation, you and I remained married to his eventual return to New England, which did not happen, as we know. He spurned them, and he's taken his talents to Tampa, so you and I were both wrong. It's all good. But as we looked at the various possibilities, we never gave much of a chance for Brady to go to Indianapolis. We just didn't see it. Now, I actually said that I thought Rivers would wind up there, and that's what happened here. But I think this is really interesting. There's an article on CBSSports.com, and Frank Reich's quoted in there, and basically saying that the Colts took a look at Tom Brady, and Frank Reich would go on to explain why they passed on the Hall of Fame quarterback. I mean, the way this is positioned, you know, without really saying it, because he does express great respect and reverence for Tom Brady, of course, and I'm talking about the head coach of the Colts, it does come down to, well, we just picked the guy that we thought was better for us. Now, age is not a determining factor. I don't think. It's not like Rivers is 28 or 32, so it's not that.
Yeah.
Are you telling me that Frank Reich, who is a quarterback guy, as we know, played the position, watched all the tape, made his thorough and most honest evaluation and assessments, and came to the determination that Philip Rivers is better than Tom Brady?
I think maybe he's trying to make Philip Rivers feel like he wasn't the second fiddle guy. He wasn't the afterthought in a sense, because I just can't see that. Look, we saw both of these guys, I guess deteriorates it's too strong of a word, but take steps back over the last year or plus, really. Philip Rivers, it's plus, because you go back into 2018 as well with the interceptions at the end of the season, and then last year in 2019, it wasn't the same player. Like, the deep ball didn't have the same accuracy. He was underthrowing a bunch of those, which led to a significant number of interceptions. Tom Brady, on the other hand, was not, you know, as mistake prone, but he did have a really low completion percentage for Tom Brady. I think it was almost under 60, if not below. I think it might have been right at 60. And so Tom had an off year, but they still went 12-4, right? And some of that completion percentage stuff is false numbers, like it's false data, because it's really him just getting rid of the football because the pressure was so bad. Their offensive line did not perform well last year in New England. And so you could explain away some of the issues with Tom Brady. I don't know if you can explain away some of the deterioration in game of Philip Rivers. And so if you're Frank Reich, what you have to do is rebuild Phillip's confidence, and you hear it in this you know, this conference or this these notes that he's putting out about him. He's like, he knows half this offense already, or at least more than half of this offense. We're really confident in him. We got good weapons around him, and if T.Y. Hilton is healthy, I believe that. But still, there's still some question marks that need to be answered regarding Phillip Rivers in Indy, even if Frank Wright is pumping him up, saying he was, you know, better. And for, even though not saying that exactly, than Tom Brady was.
Well, here's what he said on a conference call. I did tell you what we look at, and we look at all the guys. I'll tell you that I looked at his tape, Brady's. The guy's incredible. I mean, I watched all of his tape from the last 2 years. I think he's still playing at a super high level. We know he's the best of all time for a reason. As with as many championships as he's won, I mean, he still threw a couple of the balls in games where I'm saying, how's this guy throwing the ball so far? He is incredible still. I've got the utmost respect for Brady. For us, though, we got the guy we thought that was the right fit for us. But this is a guy who I respect and admire immensely, obviously, along with everybody else. End quote. I don't know. I mean, I heard what you just said, but that still sounds to me like, forget about trying to pump up Phillip Rivers. I'm not necessarily buying that. He just flat out says, for us, we got the guy we thought that was the right fit.
Yeah, but Phillip Rivers had a 3.4% interception percentage, which is extraordinarily high.
Offensive line issues.
So did Tom Brady. And Tom Brady
not like Phillip Rivers. No way.
I mean,
no way.
Let's put it this way. They were both equally under pressure last year.
They weren't equally under pressure. That's not true,
Teague. I think Tom Brady, I mean, how many times was Tom? Tom Brady was sacked 27 times. Phillip Rivers was sacked 34 times. And so, I mean, it's seven over a couple of games. Tom Brady's interception percentage, though, 1.3. Under one is unbelievable. It's excellent. That's Aaron Rodgers' territory because he never throws interceptions. Just over one is pretty damn good. And at the end of the day, if you're looking at a quarterback, you're looking at a guy who's not losing you football games. When you have a 3.4% interception percentage like Phillip Rivers did, you finish 5-11. When you don't, even if your team is inferior, you finish 12-4 like the New England Patriots did. So I hear what he's saying. I really did. I understand that he's trying to spin this so it's positive towards Phillip Rivers, but the facts just don't back that up. Phillip hasn't been really that good over the last couple of years.
Oh, I know. I mean, I was pointing out his bad December before anybody. I don't think Phillip Rivers has anything left.
You meaning December of 18?
Of 18, correct. I don't think Rivers has anything left. I mean, or very little. I don't think he's very good at all. I think Tom Brady's superior. I'm not crafting an argument that could be made from my point of view that Phillip Rivers, under any circumstance, doing anything relating to the sport of football, is better than Tom Brady right now. I'm just trying to make sense of the way Frank Reich worded it. Yeah. I found that interesting. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. But listen, I mean, Tom Brady's just, I mean, he's just far superior. You know, fewer picks, and he threw the ball more, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. I don't have it in front of me, but I'm pretty sure Tom Brady had more attempts than, do you have it in front of you?
Yeah, Phillip Rivers threw the ball 591 times last year.
Had to be more.
Tom Brady threw the ball 613.
Okay, 20-something more times, but still a lot fewer picks.
Yeah, exactly.
More throws, fewer picks.
Yes.
Yeah, like every year. I mean, Tom's better.
But look, Phillip is a risk-taker. He's more of a risk-taker than Tom Brady is.
Yeah.
And maybe that's what he's talking about. Like, maybe Frank Reich is saying, look, we have some exciting talent on our football team. We want to take risk. Like, we want to be all out there. We want to put it all on the line. Trust our defense if we make some mistakes, because they're going to make some mistakes, at least given the recent history of Phillip Rivers under center. So maybe he's saying that. Maybe that's how he fit their model or a little bit better than Tom Brady did, because Tom Brady is not going to take risk. It's just not in his DNA. And like I said before, he'll throw the ball away before
he'll take
a shot into an unfriendly window downfield. And maybe that's not what he wants. So, you know, it will play itself out. I think that the Indianapolis Colts, as we did this for Facebook. I don't think we did it on our show, so you can find us on Facebook. But I think all three of the quarterbacks that have landed, and BT agreed with me on this, they're in good spots. right? Tampa is kind of perfect for Tom Brady right now because he has so much protection around him, skill position wise, especially if they land a high end or high level running back. Who knows where that may be? Could be Derrick Henry, who still hasn't signed a deal with Tennessee yet for some reason.
Yeah, it looks like it's going in a positive direction, though. I saw that before.
Yeah, I saw that as well. But we'll see. It doesn't mean anything until it's on the dotted line. They could draft one, obviously, as well. I think Teddy Bridgewater in Carolina, that's just ideal for him. He's got so many weapons down there. And it's a prove-it deal, in a sense, because it's only 2 years. But if he does it and becomes the leader that we saw in that short tenure from last year, he could be their quarterback for the next, 8 years or so, Teddy Bridgewater. And then Phillip Rivers, if this is what Frank Reich is saying is true, he fits their model, then it could be a good spot for him as long as he curtails that turnover issue.
I want to put you on the spot. I want to see what's the first name you come up with here. So talking about the older quarterbacks, sitting here, hopefully not isolating our own homes, but in studio, having a little fun, getting back to the way the world's supposed to be, and that's coexisting with each other within relatively close proximity. What quarterback do you think we are lauding and hailing for the biggest jump from the previous season, meaning the 2020 season, as we get ready for the 2021 season? What quarterback do you think we're saying, man, that guy really took a big jump last year? The biggest jump of a quarterback coming up this year will be?
Coming from last year until
this year? Yes.
I think it might be Jimmy Garoppolo.
No way.
I do. Like, Jimmy Garoppolo got not – so it's perceptual. It's probably not production-wise, but perceptually. Jimmy Garoppolo, for some reason – he had 27 touchdown passes last year, which I think was fifth or sixth in the league, same as Drew Brees. But there's this perception because of his I don't know, failing in the Super Bowl, mm-hmm. I guess you can call it that, whatever, mm-hmm. that he had this bad season and he's not the guy. People are trying to replace him, you know what I mean, in San Francisco. I think that there will be – and by the way, his guys had his back. Like, it's his players in San Francisco had his back. And basically told those critics to shut the hell up. I think Jimmy might be on the verge of taking one of those steps where he becomes like the man in San Francisco. Now, they got to put some more talent around him. Who'd they lose? They lost Emmanuel Sanders, and they got to get some more depth out there. But their offense and with their coordinator / head coach and Kyle Shanahan, I think he could be on the verge of taking a big leap, even though he was already kind of at the top already.
I'd say Kyler Murray. That's an easy one for me. I think it's going to be Kyler Murray, DeAndre Hopkins. They'll draft somebody on the O-line this year. They'll get him another weapon. I think Kyler Murray would be my nomination. I think number two would probably be Baker based on, what they did with the O-line with Conklin. And, their weapons are healthy now. And, I would probably say Kyler Murray won. And I wouldn't even think of saying Garoppolo to answer that question.
Well, who else is there?
Pat Mahomes. Josh Allen could take a step forward with a nice receiving core with Stephon Diggs.
I think Josh Allen is good. He can win in Buffalo. I don't ever see him being an elite quarterback.
No, I don't totally disagree with that. Sam Darnold could step forward for sure. He will.
Sam Darnold has a really bad interception percentage over his career as well. Granted, the Jets haven't put anything around him. Robbie Anderson was your best bet, and he got like a second-tier deal. To go to Carolina. So, yeah, that's potentially one. But, again, in order for that to happen, they got to have a hell of a draft.
No question.
Right now, I don't know if they are.
I'm trying to think if I'm missing
anything. They haven't done anything in free agency, have they? I mean, they have O-line and, like, tertiary stuff. But
yeah,
not...
all reinforcements, more depth. They brought in a starting center, which should help. I would also throw in a name that maybe not most improved because – but in terms of maybe the most intriguing quarterback, to me, it very well, outside of Tua, because if Tua has a chance to play, the intrigue, where is he drafted, how is he health-wise, how does he actually play when he actually plays, Tua would be my most intriguing story. But really, I am really, really intrigued to see how Teddy Bridgewater plays in Carolina. I really am. I think he can be a guy who obviously pieces together wins, and Christian McCaffrey, and you got, DJ Moore. You brought in Robbie Anderson, a deep threat. We'll see. But Quarterback talk is always good talk. All right, coming up next here, a little something UFC, boxing. What do we got? Time for the Blast, Tiki and Tierney. Third hour, a little more than halfway home. As you ride home, if you're even still going into work, or if you're just chilling somewhere around the crib, or if you're going for a walk and you got us up on radio.com. Hey, listen, we're all in this together. None of us have answers. We're piecing it together day by day. It's all we could do, and we'll do it together. We'll get to the Blast coming up next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Okay, Tiki and Tierney back, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network here. And time to ask the pros, give you a chance to ask us anything you want, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Here's how you do it. Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, pardon me, just tweet us at CBS Sports Radio. And when you do that, we eventually get to this part of the show where we get a chance to read it and see what you guys queried. And we're going to go with this one. Jack is in Tampa, and Jack wants to know about the quarterbacks in the NFC South. They're obviously pretty loaded. And he wants to know here, Teague, who has the best year of the four quarterbacks in the division? Brady, Ryan, Teddy, or Breeze? What do you think? First crack.
Man, I'm going to say, this is just a blind guess. I'll say Drew Brees.
Drew Brees, huh?
Drew Brees.
Okay.
Drew Brees. I think they find a way to add a great one of these great receivers in the draft somehow and pair him with Michael Thomas. And then obviously Alvin Kamara. So, yeah, I'm going to say Brees.
Okay. I'm going to take it a step further. I'm going to actually put them 1 through 4. I'm going to put Brady 1, just with the weapons. Brady 1. I'm going to put Matt Ryan number 2. I'm going to put Matt Ryan number 2. I've got to remain consistent. As much as I love Drew Brees like everybody else, I don't think that Drew is ready to, you know, I think the best days are over. He's still obviously good, but I think Matt Ryan's still in his prime and Drew Brees is not. So I put Drew Brees 3rd. And I would put Teddy Bridgewater 4th. And putting Teddy Bridgewater 4th with those guys just tells you how deep it is. I mean, if Teddy's 4th, he could still throw for, I don't know, 3,300 yards or 3,400 yards with, you know, mid-20s or maybe, yeah, mid-20-ish touchdowns and maybe possible high-level single-digit picks. You know, and that's a good year. Just might be the 4th best in a really stacked division. So we shall see. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts. All your car care needs, guaranteed low prices, and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every single day. All right, Teak, you ready for the Blast, buddy?
I am. Let's hit it.
Okay.
So many topics, so little time. We give you 5 stories in 5 minutes, but don't take too long or you'll suffer the buzzer. It's time for the Blast with Tiki and Tierney.
All right, first up, Jimmy Johnson announces that Troy Aikman will be his Hall of Fame presenter, but the flex questions about burying the hatchet with Jerry Jones to go into the Cowboys Ring of Honor. Ah, that evasive Jimmy. Should Jimmy be in the Ring of Honor?
Yeah, of course he should be in the Ring of Honor, but this is a decision made by the owner, and until he buries the hatchet with Jerry Jones, he's not going to be in the Ring of Honor. It's as simple as that.
That's true. You know? Yeah, that is a very, very simple way of answering, but I think you're right. I mean, it doesn't matter what we think. If Jerry's still a little bit ticked off and they haven't resolved things, then he's not going to get in the Ring of Honor. I mean, if you're going into the National or the Pro Football Hall of Fame, then, you know, the subset would be one tier below that would be the Ring of Honor. Now, a lot of Ring of Honor players, I don't know the percentage, but I would think the overwhelming majority are in both. Has he earned it by merit? Of course he has. But until they smooth this over a couple of scotches, not happening.
Mm-hmm.
Newly signed Redskins linebacker Thomas Davis says that the number 2 seed in the new playoff format gets penalized. Is Davis off base? I don't think so. Imagine winning 13. Say if there's 2 teams that go 13-3 in the conference, right?
Yep.
Or 2 teams, the high water mark for next year is 12-4. And Team X is 12-4. Team Y is 12-4. Everybody else is below that. You round out the playoff field and you go to the tiebreaker. Oh, wow. So one of the 12-4 teams gets a bye and the other one doesn't. It's just a really unfairly arduous road to go through for the second seed, you should get a little more of a reward. I feel what Thomas Davis is saying.
Yeah, no, I agree with him 100%, but it's just the new reality of the National Football League, and it's done for purposes to create more revenue, create more interest, and you'll get used to it. It does suck, obviously, to have to play on Wild Card Weekend now, even if you have the second best record in the conference. But that is what it is. I mean, they're making a good enough salaries to not have to worry about playing one more game. Plus, it's another game check.
Zach LaVine isn't happy about how the season has played out in Chicago, telling Bulls.com, "To be blunt, I'm upset. We had high expectations. It didn't go our way. Can Zach LaVine be a legit number two on a contender?"
I mean, yeah, he's still got to expand his game a little bit. But, you know, specifically to the Bulls, just the expectation, I mean, who set high expectations?
I think internally.
Yeah, I mean, internally, yes. But it's one thing to say, yeah, we're going to be great. It's another thing to put in the work to be great. So I hear what he's saying. But they all have to be better and be more cohesive in order for things to work out, just because you want them to work out in Chicago.
Yeah, the answer is out of bounds here. You know, I like him, but if he's the second best player on a team that's chasing a championship, that team will never win the championship. That's just the way it is. You know, he's not a kid. He's still, you know, he's at the back end of his developmental, process now. He's 26 next season. You know, in the NBA, 26 is not old, but it's not young, as crazy as that sounds. I like him. He also came back from a knee issue. You know, good PER, not through the roof, good size. But there's some deficiencies that I think keep him from being that, you know, that legitimate number two on a title team. I'm with you. I would say out of bounds. All right, Teak, how about this one? Orioles first baseman Chris Davis was red hot poor Chris Davis. He's striping the ball during spring training after hitting like 130 the last couple of years. He's actually getting his act together, and now there's no season. 467 with 3 homers and 9 ribbies. Since hitting 47 home runs in 2015 after the Monster deal, Davis has hit just 198. Wow. And averaged just 23.58 per season the past 4 years. Can Chris Davis salvage his career? Well, it sounds as if maybe he was on the way to doing that this year. I mean, the problem with Chris Davis is that, you know, once his contract expires, the only reason the Orioles even trot him out there 3 or 4 days a week is because of the contract, because they have to try to justify that. And even with that, they've really sat him down significantly the last couple of years. Once this expires, or they buy him out or whatever, and he goes somewhere else, now it's a nominal financial commitment, and you're less willing to roll with him because he's hitting 209 or 212. He's a pretty good first baseman for a righty, for a big, burly, strong guy. He actually picks it pretty well at first. Can he salvage his career? I mean, can he hit 240? I think he could probably find a way into that neighborhood. And if so, then I guess the answer is a tepid yes, but I wouldn't bet on that. Yeah, he's been lost for a while.
Yeah, the days of being in the top five of the MVP like he was in 13, where he had 53 bombs, it's just gone. He's not hitting home runs like he used to anymore, because he's not making contact like he used to. And, you know, some of that is launch angle, trying to be Superman at 34. It's like, what else can I do? I'm not going to, you know, leg out a single, so I might as well just swing for the fence. But when you can't make contact, it's just a bad strategy. So he's 34 years old. I'm gonna say no. I don't think he can salvage his career. He could still have a really good career. And by the way, he's played, you know, 12 years already, had a pretty good one. But I'm gonna say no.
All right, Bob Arum, the longtime boxing promoter, says UFC president Dana White should be ashamed of promoting fights during the coronavirus pandemic. Is Arum right?
I don't think he should be ashamed. I think he's being opportunistic, Dana White. Now, how you view that, you know, the morality of that, I guess depends on whether or not people get sick or get, you know, this virus, get coronavirus, and something bad happens. Right? We're all we're subjected to opinions based on, like, what happens, not based on what we think is going to happen. So, shame? No. He's just overly opportunistic. Yeah, but that's always been Dana White.
I would lean with yes on this. I'm with Bob Arum. I mean, there's been a callousness. There's been, at least it projects as an insensitivity to our new normal. And that's just, you got to be better than that, man. And Dana White has done so much good, so many innovative things, and he's built this from scraps. And, you know, his story is incredible. And I like Dana. You know, but, you know, ashamed, if you want to say that's maybe one degree too far to the right, okay. You want to dial that down a tick, sure. But again, just a lack of awareness, a lack of reading the room, a callousness, an insensitivity. That's definitely fair. Yeah.
Time's up. The blast is over for another day.
Colton's wandered in the room here, Colt Teague, and he's just jumping around. What's up, Colt? How you doing, buddy? You good? You could say hi. Yeah, he said hi. Oh, man. So, I don't know, Teague. One of these days, just keep on. What's up, buddy? All right, well, yeah. He's got the guitar now. Go ahead,
Teague. This is what happens at the end of days. If people are you struggle for the conversation at the end of a 3-hour show, especially when kids are starting to get antsy and want to engage with daddy.
I know.
As it always seems to work out at this time of the day. What's dinner time?
Kids get hungry. We went out, we shot some hoops today. We're making some buckets, right, Cole? How many buckets did we make there? We made a bunch. How many? 10? He said we made 10.
Nice.
I think we made more than that. You know what I'm doing? It's a great. What did we make? Go ahead. It's good.
We made 20.
All nice. Right. We made 20. Even better. And by the next minute, we'll have made 40. You know what I incorporated, Tig? And it's a good way to get. I would encourage just any mom or dad trying to get the kids into basketball. You know, because obviously we got the rim and it's lower. It goes down to 7.5 feet and, you know, he can reach that. He's got to kind of shoot it from his hip and he's got to kind of chuck it up there. You get a few air balls, but, you know, he hits a fair amount. It's not like it's defeating his morale where it's air ball after air ball. But what I'm making him do is before he takes a shot, 5 dribbles, bud. So, you know what I mean? So you catch it, you kind of get used to pounding that thing on the pavement, then you let it fly, you know? So listen, there's a window now. Especially for dads, because I really do feel badly for dads, and not to make it about a sex thing pertaining to the mom or the dad here, because so many homes have both parents working, but the dad, you know, really, you know, the workday has extended from, you know, remember the movie 9 to 5? Remember that in the '80s with Dolly Parton? Remember that?
Yeah, it's become like all day,
exactly,
as opposed to. You know, you clock out. It's obviously a different world, though, because so much of our industry has evolved from, like, manufacturing and production of stuff to service industries, right? It's providing services for people. And, you know, you want to grow that business, you gotta work extra. It's harder. I mean, it is unfortunate and unfair sometimes. Yeah, but this is a chance to reconnect.
Well, that's what I was saying. You know, instead of the 9 to 5, which is, as Tiki said, is gone by the wayside.
Like, it's way gone, like, by the wayside. Unless you're like a trader on Wall Street, and that's like literally 9 to 5.
True. Actually, no, the market closes before 5. So
yeah,
it's not even
right.
Up. You
what
know?
Is it, like 4:30? Something like that, whatever
4.
It is.
I think it's 4. I think the market closes at 4.
I think you might be right.
And, you know, but now for those, you know, those dads and those moms that are getting more time, and especially if you have you know, young kids that, you know, trust me, I'm not telling you what to do, but the gratification of even if it's, you know, getting out there for 10 minutes, teaching them how to throw, you know, catch a ground ball, swing a bat, hit a golf ball, kick a soccer ball, go and do it. I mean, yeah. I know this is really a tough circumstance. Cash in on it. You know what I mean?
Used to have to wait till the weekend. Now you can do it on a Tuesday.
That's Thursday. That's right. Let me go dunk on him right now. Show him who's boss. Teague, I'll see you tomorrow. Everybody have a great Wednesday. Peace!
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.